two full page ads come in, and I was obligated to handle that for coming in.
Oh,
I actually
fine.
Tried calling your cell, and I ended up dialing some lady's number.
That happens a lot with me.
But,
you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's cool. No, not a problem at all. I just wanted to make sure. I started getting into my my phone here, and I was like, it may not be today. I mean,
no. But, wow.
Yeah.
So I went to your website, and there's so much information on there. Did you put that
much.
Together? You're the IT guy for the school district?
Yeah.
Or,
okay. Yeah. I do the training. I train the teachers on software. I'm a technician. I do their websites too.
Cool.
I'm the webmaster. That's my favorite title. You know, it's all like cryptic and weird. I'm the webmaster.
Yeah. Where'd you get your did you go to school for information systems or?
I went to school to be. I was a communications major, and I wanted to get into broadcasting. My original intent.
And sports
was,
broadcasting.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I wanted to sit next to. This was before Keith Olbermann became the rabble rouser he is now, but I wanted to sit next to him on the ESPN set. That was my whole dream thing, and then
right.
I got on the inside and figured out what was going on with sports broadcasting and the players, and it was like, man, I can't spend my life going after these people. And I was an intern for the Royals, and I was down when Hal McCray was there, and he was a nasty man. You
really?
Know? Oh, man. He did not like reporters. I don't know what happened in his life, but he didn't like reporters. That was when David Cohen was there, and he was kind of the glorified Kansas City kid coming back from Rockhurst. He had his stint in New York and had that bullpen guffaw that went awry, and he was a bit, I don't know, it was a weird environment. It was like, it was so cutthroat with all those guys, and we were all doing the same thing, you know, mm-hmm. instead of, you know, holding hands, as I think a lot of those guys should do, it was like they were pulling out invisible knives and chopping fingers off. It was like, not for me. So, yeah.
So how long did the internship last?
Oh, that was...
Was that like part of your schooling?
Yeah, it was something I was doing at 61 Country when they had it back. And that was on Signal Hill, where Channel 4 was before they moved. Oh, God, I was probably second, third year in college, you know? But I learned computing on the job. My first job out of school... I was confused. I read too many books in college, and once I got out, I didn't know what the hell I wanted to do, so I was waiting tables up in Liberty, and then I finally went to, I worked at a girls' home in Midtown, which was interesting. That was an insane thing. It was through Ozanam, and that was one hell of a ride. And based on the pay and the insanity, I got out, and I got a desktop publishing job in North Kansas City at a consulting firm, and it was a small shop. They gave me free rein, and I just learned everything I could, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Got curious, and they needed networking people, they need database administration. I just was like, this is good, the pay's good, it's a good job. I'm not dealing with messy cases of what I was dealing
yeah.
with in Midtown.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's hard.
It is, it's real hard. So, yeah,
wow.
That was the beginning.
Did you build your website pretty
yeah.
much from scratch, like using Dreamweaver and...
You know what? I'm a
XML and stuff like that. Or?
I'm a front page guy.
Really?
I wish I was a text editor and I could just do that. I work with people that can do it. Get in the notepad, write HTML code, and do it. But I do front page for my personal stuff, and I do Dreamweaver at work. And I'm starting to get into a bind now because I was on a Linux server and they kicked me off, and it completely recalibrated everything because I have to go to a Microsoft hosting logic now. But at any rate, I use both platforms. And
that's. The thing where you have like your new exhibits, the paintings that morph from photos.
Oh yeah,
paintings from photos. That is so cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I grabbed that probably a couple years after I started doing it. It was some weird little app, but I worked with a guy that knows every possible software gadget that you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to him. I was like, you know, I want to show. Initially, I wanted to show my son after he was born what it would look like when he morphed into, like, I think he was two at the time, and I just wanted to, like, match it up. And you match up all these dots and do it. I was like, wow, that's cool. And then my wife was like, you need to do that with your artwork and put it on the website. And I was like, yeah, you know, so I did it, and it just, it's cool.
it's really cool.
You know, it's fun, definitely.
You're now you start how long ago did you start your new exhibit where you actually basically give paintings away and do, or am I confusing that with the your new thing is the photos or paintings from photos?
Yeah, that was the initial, like, when I started doing this, my first show was around 98, and it was in the River Market at the Cup and Saucer. It was awesome. And it was my friends badgered me, because we used to hang out there when I lived downtown. They were like, you got to come in here and do this. So I go in, I talk to this gal, real soft-spoken gal, Jill. She was really cool. And I came in and had all this just crazy artwork, and I just clunk it down on these chairs, and she's just like she hadn't seen anything like that. She's like, yeah, let's do it. I hadn't framed anything, hadn't done anything, so I'm like, cool, let's do it. So I'm thinking it's going to be low rent. I'm going to take some stuff in there, hang it on the walls, no big deal. And she made these postcards for me and did this whole thing. I had a friend, his name's Tom Dethridge. She runs the Late Show, and it's a pretty successful gallery downtown, and he did all my framing real cheap. So I got in there and did it, and as time went on, I kind of let it go, and then my son was born, and I got married, and all this started happening. So I was like, I'm going to get back into it. I'm going to get serious about it. So my wife and I basically etched out. She has the greatest ideas. She comes up with these cool ideas. So we were talking about doing like a photo paint thing to encapsulate my two loves, and I just kind of started matching them up and started kind of pitching it out. My first real big show was at the Mojo Gallery in the Crossroads District, and from there I just started gaining momentum. I had a good friend of mine who has since moved to Chicago. His name's Brian Kitahara, but we affectionately called him the Kato, and because he's all elusive like Inspector Kato from the Pink Panther. So he was helping me kind of do the business end and giving me ideas and helping me get shows, and he helped me get the Mojo, and it just kind of went from there. But now, as time has gone on, the whole travel photo paint thing, I work for and I watch quite frequently this channel called Current TV. It's on the upper tier of the cable channels, and it's Al Gore owns it, and it's just like kind of an aggro station where a bunch of people just go out and find really interesting takes on things. Like, I was watching one last night where there was this guy in China that wrote poetry and was in prison most of his life until he came to America, and he was talking about how he was literally in prison and just tortured because he was a poet, and he wrote, and they wouldn't let him publish it because it was, you know, the temperature going on over there. So at any rate, I was just watching it, thinking one night, I was like, all these paintings, I've moved like 8 times from house to house. I'm going to take them, and I'm going to start giving them to people. And it's all my early stuff. I'm not showing them anywhere. And just let them have fun with it. Let them take pictures. Let them take videos. I'll do them with my kids. We'll go out. We'll just start blanketing. And it just took off. People really dug it. I even put it on Craigslist, and I got this troop leader out in South KC, and all these little girls got it. And last summer, they went to like Ireland and, you know, the West Coast and the East Coast and did this whole thing and just loved it. And it was like their humanitarian or like arts. It was some art thing that they were doing, some project. But I actually have a friend now that is in jiu-jitsu and went to Indonesia, and she's over in like Bali right now putting my stuff out there.
Wow.
Got a camera, and she's all excited. She's going to take pictures of it. And I've seen video from Rome, you know, like sitting next to a fountain in Rome, and I'm just like, wow, that's really cool, you know, that's happening.
So it's not just you. You have a few friends.
I have anybody that is trustworthy, that can accept the package or wants to get it. And I had other errant people that just were traveling that got a hold of me on Craigslist. Nice. I got a hold of them to see if they were valid. I either sent them a package or I met them and I gave it to them. And I give it to friends, and just, God, I can't even, I have the map on the website, but it's just kind of spread out.
Oh, really?
There. Yeah.
Okay. That's like from shows that where you dropped off.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just hanging.
Yeah.
Cool.
So.
I remember last summer there's a freelancer who started to do a story on you, and I don't know what happened, but like you were doing a traveling exhibit. Is that, and weren't you two like, didn't you run, it seems like she had said something about you. You were both ending up in Colorado around the same time or something?
She was going up there to film something with her husband. And I actually, at the time, my father-in-law had pictures of the tornado that hit Ruskin Heights. So I was working with her on that.
Yeah.
And I gave those to her. And at the same time, I was pitching this idea. And I pitched it to The Pitch. I pitched it to The Star. I pitched it to you guys at The Advocate. Mm-hmm. And she bit. And she was like, this is really cool. I want to do it. So I actually filmed her in front of The Advocate. She had the pieces. I'm getting ready to go to Colorado. I checked for like 2 or 3 months to see if anything was written. She never responded to emails. Just kind of fell off the radar. So I don't know what happened with that. But that was the idea. She was going to the Royal Gorge. She was going to drop them off. And she was just gonzo excited about it. And then it was just like, I didn't hear anything. So maybe she just, I don't know, liked them enough and put them on her walls and never wanted to talk to anybody about it again. So
that's cool. So on the map on your website, do you have multiple donations that you do, or is it usually just one or two per location? Or
I'm trying to blanket and get it everywhere. But for right now, yeah, there's been multiple drops. I've done multiple drops here in town. One of the funniest ones I was teaching a computer class over here last year at the alternative school, and I was, you know, when I'm with my kids, I have some art in the car that I do this, and I put a little thing on the back that says, if you dig it, email me, and kind of tell them what's going on, the movement thing that I'm doing, and I put it on a picnic bench over in Martin City, and some kid came up to me who was in class, and he was like, are you Joe Domino? I'm like, yeah, I've been teaching you for the last 6 months. Yeah, that's me. And he was like, I found one of your pieces of artwork, and he said, I'm going to San Diego this summer, I'm going to drop it off, and I was like, cool. But our relationship, it was like he just completely thought, it was like that cool lever clicked in him before I was the teacher. And it was like after that, he like looked at me and treated me differently. And it was like, those kinds of things are kind of cool with this. Because, you know, the ultimate idea is that when you create, you're creating stories. So inherently in that, this gives people the opportunity to create a story that is like a tributary that like flows into the bigger story, which is this. You know, and there's no end date. It just started when it started. It's kind of like the Big Bang. It's just fractaling out into wherever it's going to go to.
Do you ever do a like impromptu donations where you didn't have like necessarily you know, somebody inquire, but you did you do that on Main Street with any businesses?
Like, yeah, just I did. I got the Sprint store. And I got a salon one day. I even got the Elbows Bend over there by the off Blue Ridge. I've done some places around here, you know. And I knew, and I did the Sprint store specifically because we worked with them. And Gaspar's wife one day, I was in there and my name came out. And she was like, are you Joe Domino? And I was like, yeah. She was like, I saw your stuff over at the Hard Bean. I completely love it. So I thought, I'll just kind of do a little midnight pass and drop it off. And hopefully she'll get a little actual stuff. Yeah. So, you know.
You said you do training at the school, but this a student, like a high school student?
He was in the alternative school. Actually, he was in the care program. He was a middle school student.
Okay.
And the way it works over there, they have this, it's the Center for Alternative Instruction, and they have like different groups, like high school and middle school. But he happened to be in the middle school section, and my partner and I, Eric, were teaching this class over there, and he was just one of the kids that was in the class. We did like a basic like computing thing. We wanted to kind of merge the IT idea of IT full year staff with kind of the teaching environment to kind of let them get into it, since computers are such a big part of their daily environment.
Right,
so
right.
That was kind of how that happened.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow. You're a father of a boy who's one? Two?
He is three.
Three?
Yeah.
Three now.
Yeah.
Wow. And what's his name?
Miles.
Miles.
Yeah.
Any celebrity or anything, or?
He was, you know what, when my wife and I, we met rapidly, got quickly on that track to get married and having kids, and I thought it was going to be a girl, and it was originally going to be Isabella Rose, and when we found out it was going to be a boy, or we tossed around before we knew it was a boy, and we were like, what do you think? And I think one of the first names that came out of me was Miles, because I'm a huge jazz fan. I love Miles Davis.
That's what I was thinking of, and, you know, he did art, too.
Yeah.
And in some of the same shapes, you know, the kind of...
Yeah.
That it made me think. I used to have a Miles Davis t-shirt. I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
And my brother went to WashU, and he brought me back this shirt. And t-shirt with acrylic paint.
Yeah.
Over time, it's like the paint was the only part that wasn't tattered. It was literally held together by the paint. All
That's
the
awesome.
Black had worn away, and had six shirts come on.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I, you know, and the other thing about that is that I waited so long to have a child that I've in. And, you know, there's just so many little reasons to go into it, but it was like, after all of these miles, we come to this juncture in my life where I'm going to finally have a child, and it just made sense. But I remember getting Kind of Blue, one of my best friends, who introduced me to a lot of music before I went to New York for the first time, gave me that album, and I remember listening to it on the airplane. I was just like, holy shit, this is like, wow, this is amazing. I mean, I'd never heard anything like that, and I don't know how they did it. To this day, if I was on an island, it's in the top five, you know?
Cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Did you grow up here, or...?
I grew up in Liberty.
Liberty, okay.
Yeah, yeah, I was, there's this weird Liberty thing that happens in the KC Metro. People are always running into Liberty people, and whatever, yeah, it's weird. It's like, you're from Liberty? Yeah, I'm from Liberty, yeah, you know, it's, I mean, and when I was there, it was farm town. I mean,
yeah.
It was completely low rent, and, like, nothing was going on, no one even knew about it, and then it kind of turned into this big, crazy, Smallville metropolis thing, you know, so...
I'm trying to think of a few other questions that might be good. was the... some of these are just kind of, you know, things. I used to play baseball.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that was something I connected
sure.
with you on. And originally wanted to be a baseball player.
Sure.
And then you move into other things. And then I paint and stuff. And
yeah.
It's interesting how many similarities that there are that I saw myself on
sure.
your website. And then, like, the whole idea of your website's kind of interactive with, you know, the animation and stuff. It's do you see yourself doing more website stuff, like maybe not just marketing and, you know, the web format, but like doing more like maybe interactive websites where I guess it's kind of a philosophical question.
Sure.
Do you think that, how far away do you think we are from like basically website works of art where the entire site is like, you know, a gallery, but it's like maybe so stylized that it doesn't have the same feel of
sure.
a website. Have you ever thought of something like that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and there's a lot of little things that my brain's grabbing at right now. First thing is, I've tried to market, and I'm going to, I haven't actively done it, I brought it up. I was at Cerner about a year and a half ago, and they have this big, crazy, nutty multi-million-dollar media area where all their guests come in, and I had a show there, and I pitched the idea to them to get like a digital frame, and they could do seasonal things, and they could pop it in, and they would have these images come up. So in a more roundabout way, I think that the web, I think technology is completely embraceable in the art world. I think that's where we're going. I mean, the idea that people are aggro and it has to be on canvas and it has to be actually a malleable thing that you look at and you touch is fine and dandy, but I think at the same time to digitize it, to bring it into something that's more multimedia, Max Headroom-ish, so to speak, is
yeah.
really quite cool. And I've seen it done well. I remember when I've been very fortunate to have gone to some cool museums like the Tate in London. I've been to the Louvre in Paris. I went to some really cool ones in Venice and other areas of Italy as well. And the thing is like, I think the one that blew me away the most was like seeing the Michelangelo. You could never, ever get away from the actual environment of seeing, like, you know, the actual Sistine Chapel. It's like, wow, why? What am I doing? You know, it's like, why am I trying and toiling? But at the same time, you take that to something like, I don't know, that whole aggro notion of like Christo, for instance, where he wraps everything. I mean, if you take his mentality and put it into like a digital format where it's like, you kind of just, I don't know, you interact with the digital medium like they are. Like, they're rapping, getting involved with nature, but they're doing it in a way that's artistic, but it's still a process of nature. I think that's the way we should treat the whole digital medium. I think it's completely cool and it's embraceable. But I'm trying to redesign my site to make it a little bit more interactive and a little bit more flowing and movement-oriented, but I love it. And I think it's really cool when I hear people that, like, can open up a picture, a painting, and then just make it their background.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm in it. I want to make some money. I want it to be recompensated. But at the same time, the idea is saturation. I've had my stuff in boxes for way too long, like hidden away in the darkness. And it's like, if people want to get involved with it, it's kind of like the whole music download thing. It's like, hey, if you want it and you're really into it, you can't afford it, it's kind of a fickle thing. It's like, go for it. And that's the interesting thing about artwork is the motivation that goes into actually painting it, the impulsive nature of it, is the same impulsive nature someone has whenever they buy it. It's like they see it, they feel it, they want it, bam. You know, same thing you feel when you paint. It's like, I'm into it. I'm going to paint today. I want it. And it just, boom, it just comes out of you. And it's like, you got to respect both of those. I know I've gone around that.
I never thought about that, the impulsive.
It really goes hand in hand. So whenever one of the worst mistakes, and I still think about this to this day, I was at a good friend of mine had a music festival up in outside of Cameron. It was the Big Creek Music Festival, and I had this old wagon, and I made T-shirts, and I was going to sell them for $10 a pop, and I had some of my artwork there as well. And this couple came up, and there was this really cool tree that I had, this tree painting, and they were really interested in it. I had a price, and I was going to stick to it. That was my whole thing. It was right when I really started getting into like marketing myself. I'm like, I'm not going to waver on it. And all they had was $75, and the thing was $100, and they didn't come back, and they didn't buy it. And I was like, God, it was $25 less than what I wanted. Why wouldn't I not just take what they had? But I ran into them like 2 years ago at the Unplaza Art Fair, and I said, I got it. I had a feeling you guys were going to come, and they're like, no, it's over with. And it's like, I got to respect that. You liked it that day. You had the money. You did it. And I didn't. I was an idiot. I was like, I got to stick to my guns. And now it's like, it's in a box in my basement. It's like, damn, you know? the $25 really doesn't mean a lot right now. So, yeah. You know.
How many paintings might you do in like a month of time?
Or
at least in like the current style, like the photo paint.
Yeah, I kind of migrated into, and you'll see them in here, some window panes that I was getting into for a while, and that kind of slowed me down a little bit because it was all about prep. I went out and found the windows and trash heaps, took the glass out of it, got canvas or wood panels, put them in the back, gessoed them, and really kind of focused on it. And, I would say when I was really, really, this is probably about a year ago when I was really strumming and going through it, I was doing probably at least one a day, if not maybe several a day. And I don't belabor over anything for a long time. I put myself into it, but I really get in there, and it's just kind of my style. So, needless to say, I have a lot of paintings.
And you take a lot of photography. What do you like to shoot on?
I do a lot of digital photography, and I got to be honest with you. In like the last like 8 months, the camera phone has ruined me. Just ruin me because that's what I use, and they're horrible. The quality's terrible, so it's like I've kind of deviated away from it.
Yeah.
But I still do use my camera and get involved. It's just so clunky to put in my pocket. It's always laying out on the table or whatever. But with my phone, I can just flip it out, and it's kind of capturing the kids or capturing this thing. So the camera phone's kind of ruined me on the photography front. So I've really focused on art right now. It's like that's the thing that I can get into. But I don't really put photography a lot in shows anymore like I used to. I usually use it as like a basis. So.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm downtown, like recently, I went down there, the Drum Room, so sexy. I love that place, and I went down and took some pictures, and I'd love to do some watercolors of it. So I'll just kind of use that as a basis to go off of. But as far as like something I'm framing and selling, it's not a focus now. They're more of an inspirational kind of a thing,
mm-hmm.
You know? So, but I really slowed down for a while there. I was having shows, I have a family, I'm married, I was doing stuff for the current TV, I have a full-time job, and it's like, Jesus Christ, man, enough is enough. I mean, I finally had to have the coming to Jesus talk with my wife, and it was like, something's gotta go, so I kinda slacked off, but my painting routine is to do it the morning before I come into work. So the chickens are asleep, I'm alone, it's quiet, everything's comfortable, and that was my time to shine, but I just haven't been doing it lately. I've been kind of taking a break, but I've been doing stuff here and there. I just did a painting for a friend. A really good friend of mine that has a lot of my artwork, wanted me to do a door, literally just get a door out of a trash heap and do something really cool on it. They were going to hang it in their opening foyer into their house, and I just did that recently, and it's on my blog, but that was fun. And I just got the door, I gessoed it, and I just went crazy, and it turned out quite cool. So
you usually, you said you find you usually work best when in the morning before your day kind of starts to unravel?
Oh yeah, that's when the brain's starting to wake up. First cup of coffee comes in, there's something nice about it. I used to be a night guy, but now it's like the morning time, it's like, man, that's it. Your synapses haven't completely fired, you're not diluted with the news, you're just like, you just dreamed, you woke up, and you're enjoying yourself, and the kids aren't awake, everybody's like doing their thing, and it's like, oh yeah,
that's
this
like,
is it.
That's gotta be really early for you. Like, was that 4:30 or something?
No.
Or is it?
Usually about 5:30 or so.
Really?
Yeah. And get the coffee going after it's percolating. It's about 5:45 or so. They get down there and start hitting it. But yeah, I used to be a night guy, and I used to, when I was an urban dweller, single, living downtown, I used to do it at night all the time. You know, my cramped little apartment hovel and just doing it, you know. But I've evolved now. I got a home, and I got a little studio space in the garage. I still like the whole idea of being in a garage for some reason. I could have picked other areas, but it's like, I don't know, it just feels good.
Yeah.
The fumes can go out. There's light if I want to. I can open the garage door, you know.
Have you painted on site at all? Like, or did you used to in the past, like when you lived?
No, I know I never did that. I always thought it was romantic when I'd see those movies about Van Gogh and other painters. I was like, it's kind of cool to go out there and put the paint stick up like you're a pro and start doing it. But no, I just get down to the studio and turn the fluorescence on and imagine that I'm somewhere else, you know.
I like that.
But that's the other thing, too, with the door. It's like, I love doing unorthodox things. Like, I had a good friend of mine, I had a show at his law firm, Berkowitz, Oliver, and Shaw, which was kind of cool. There was a weird connection that was going on there. There was a guy named, his name is John Shaw, and he bought one of my paintings at Muddy's on 39th Street. It was a really small one. They had a ticket stub of Moby's show when he had it here like 2 years ago off, I think it was, what album was that? Hotel. And I love Moby. I think he's one of the coolest celebrities alive. He's just so grounded, so cool. I mean, politically and socially, and he's a complete badass. But anyways, I had a ticket stub series, so I take a ticket stub and make a little panel, and I had this whale coming out of the ground, like the whole Moby thing with the black glasses on, and he bought it for a coworker. Well, anyways, a good friend of mine, Tim West, I knew years ago, got back in touch with me because he saw one of my shows, and I had a big, huge show with tons of artwork in their law firm, and I kind of had a rendezvous and met back up with him, this John Shaw guy, and he bought a Town Topic watercolor that I did. But anyways, this friend of mine, Tim, rekindled this thing that I was going to do years ago. At my Cup and Saucer show, I went down one night, and I was a little sauced up, and some guy started saying, I really like this painting that's like a fireworks painting, and I had a big strip of fireworks that was clothed in red paint, and there was a blue background. I said, yeah, dude, I'll tell you what, if you want me to, let's do a little performance art. I'll blow this sucker up, and then before I do it, I'll take a picture of it, and I'll house it under one frame so you can see the before and after. And it just kind of freaked him out. He just didn't go for it. But my friend Tim did, and he had me do it. So I got my kids out there, and we did a whole performance art. I loaded a canvas up and made a little one that had fireworks in it, and we went out and just blew this thing up, and I filmed it. And I gave him the CD, I gave him the whole shadow box, the whole thing, and he completely loved it. So I love doing stuff like that. You know, when you can like really like get in there and like, I don't know, like live the whole art, so to speak. It's so much fun, you know.
Actually, combusted.
Oh yeah. Wow. I mean, yeah, blew up. I mean, and I had a camera underneath, I had a camera on top, I had two other people, and you can see it underneath. So it was just like doot doot doot. You just see the holes like ripping in there. You know,
cool.
It was awesome.
That's
I'll have
awesome.
To show it.
Yeah,
just,
I'd love to see.
Yeah, give me your email and I'll send it over. Right. It was completely cool.
Cool.
You know?
Thank you. Where do you kind of see yourself going with the exhibit? Do you ever see a point where like maybe you can? I don't know. I guess there's kind of emergence of performance art and some of the things you do. You know, it's more in the context of the piece than necessarily what's in the content of the piece.
Sure.
And like, I mean, it seems like the evolution is like more and more you're moving towards communications and expression and less away from like typical vocation and
sure.
You know, those type of things. Do you think that that's something that's gonna continue to grow, or that might be end up in a later, you know, post exhibit career change, or do you have any kind of different dreams now than what you?
Oh God, you know, I love the whole evolution of life with the pain and the pleasure that goes into it. And the beauty of it is that, God, when I think about when I started this, where I was at, what I was thinking and why I was doing what I was doing, mm-hmm. I've just completely evolved to a new level. And I'm not bragging, it's one of those things where you just grow so much. And it's like I've grown from the pleasure as much as I have from the pain. So I'm open to it. It's like there's levels of me that want to make this like the digitized window frame that can be on the wall, you know, and that they can, you know, swap it out and they have high-res images that they can kind of go through. And then again, I wouldn't mind, I write a lot too, I write a lot of poetry, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, maybe reading in front of a crowd and having some of my artwork up there and kind of making it be like a centerpiece. There's a guy named Thax Douglas, he's a poet, he's a crazy man. He used to know good friends of mine that were in the Daybirds years ago. It was a Kansas City act that did pretty well. Well, he travels with bands and he opens up for me and he reads his poetry. And I've always wanted to merge all those ideas because I love to write, and I write poetry a lot, and I love to take pictures, and I love photography, I love video, I love all of these things. I completely dig the whole idea of like high technology and the whole aggro notion of just like writing on a piece of paper or painting on a canvas. So the idea of those, I don't even know, I would love to see it merge, and I would love to see it become more of something that's going to be an absolute career that like takes off and that like works for me. And I would love to go regionally to other art museums. I'd love to like, I did submit one piece to Current that I did a compilation on this travel photo paint thing. Had testimonials, had pictures, videos, me talking about it. I submitted it, people voted on it, people around the world have seen it and commented on it. So things like that have happened, and I love it. I will never blockade the whole idea of evolution and doing something that I just wouldn't have thought I would have done a week ago, because I just think that exhibits a certain amount of growth in an individual, you know. I think when you're doing it for malicious or exclusively money purposes. I think you get muddled, mired in it, you know. And that was my thing in the beginning when I painted. It's like, I'm not doing it for money. And now it's more of I mean, I'm really taking time out. I'm not doing it exclusively for money, but there is something there where I want to get paid back. I'm a family guy. I have a budget. I want things to kind of pop. Plus, it's kind of nice to, you know that you're getting compensated for something that you love. There's something really gratifying about that. It's like going to work at a job that you love, and you're getting paid for it, and you're like, wow, I'm getting paid for doing this, and I love it. It's kind of a cool thing. It's a good feeling at the end of the day.
On the your style of painting, is it, or do you think it's, is it completely original? Do you kind of base off anything? Like,
I don't, and it's funny. When I first started showing my stuff, I did it at the city market. There was Sunday art bins that they would have down there. And I had a lot of people that would come up and they would be like, because I'd have all these like ensembles that would be on wood and painted and whatnot. And they're like, that reminds me of this, that reminds me of that. Or my wife even brought up Kandinsky at one point, and I never saw his stuff. I mean, I'm not one of those guys that really goes to the annals of art. I've been through art history and I've seen a lot of things and I've gone through it, especially over the years, but I don't base it off anything. I mean, I like the thick, globby, colorful thing of Van Gogh, and I like the whole idea of just absolute odd weirdness, but human form with Picasso. I love the surrealism of Dali. I love the simple beauty of just Renaissance painters. And it's something I can never, ever do, but it's like, we're all imitators, though. Every single one of us. Everything we get, we filter in one way or another, whether we admit it or not. So if there's some things in there that are validly from an artist that I like, I'll definitely be like, yeah, it influenced me. But it's definitely what I do, and it's the way I interpret my reality in this world. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I've taken all of these things, like being in like a recycle yard, I'm taking a little bit of all these things and I'm mashing it, you know, so. Half of it, I don't even know where it comes from sometimes. It's like, why the hell did I dream what I dreamed last night? It was just all this weird shit. But for some reason, my conscious brain said, wow, I'm going to take this and ride it into my other side of brain and see what happens. So, you know, yeah.
I don't know how much time we have here. I think it's probably getting close to 4.
Yeah.
Did you need to go?
Oh, no, it's good. I'm at 3:45. I'm good.
Okay. Good. What would be a good photo opportunity? Like, I'd like to get you with some, next to some of your pieces or something.
If you want to in here, we could do it.
Okay.
I mean, if right now is good for you, that's good
for
me.
Yeah, that should work good. That's ready to go.
Got my Clark Kent plaid on today, so I'm ready to go. The one that was like, do not buy. You like said, hey, thanks for helping us move. You can have this pain. It's like, I didn't do it. So.
Are there any upstairs?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some along this wall here. Series and urban landscapes and all that kind of fun.
study is such a
That's the beauty of the whole digital thing. It's like you can just get all shaky and instantaneous, you know. It's like having a camera on all the time.
So you got that spooky
effect? Yeah.
Do you like it?
No, it's just...
Okay.
it is a fine idea.
It is kind of weird trying to put it in a picture.
How'd that work?
Not very good.
Yeah.
The soft cast bills take off the edge, so the oil goes down, and then if you do the oils, and then the soft oil works, so you have that money.
Yeah. Sometimes those combinations, they get pretty crazy. That right there was probably something I took a little while back, I think at my old house. I think we had some sunflowers in the backyard, and the bumblebee as well was back there itching on them. So.
What are some of your favorite magazines? For inspiration.
Oh, magazines? I love the National Geographic.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of the magazines I read, I try to get, you know, thoughts on what's going on. The Nation is one of the very few that I subscribe to.
The Nation?
Yeah, for the political end and all that. It's a little bit less unfiltered, progressive politics kind of thing. So.
Man, you're pretty active in the state.
Yeah, I'm pretty vocal. Yeah, I get out there. I'm not afraid. You know. Yeah.
Are you in any type of like local type of groups or anything?
No. Funny enough, for a little while there, I almost did get a little bit more politically active than I was. I tried to run for a reality show called American Candidate, and ended up showing on Showtime. It's like 3 years ago, my friends were like, "You gotta do this." Yeah, and it was like, I did like a 8-minute audition thing, so it was like, they interviewed all these people that knew me, and they were supposed to be like, why would he be a good president? And then it was me talking about like the main issues, and I submitted my tape in. And after I did that, I got a lot of, you know, organizations that were like, you know, you want to donate, you want to do this, you want to do that. I just don't have time, you know. But I still get like phone calls myself, and like, you know, you have more people are like, hey, do you want to donate time? And I'm like, yeah, I do think I'm going to get all of my help on. So I'm sorry, you know, I can't help you out. So, but I'd like to be, as much as I talk about stick on politics, I'd like to be more active, you know, on campus and different things. I just don't have time, you know. So,
Yeah, it's kind of just kind of how we're made and done.
I think it's the freedom that American women have to be and do whatever they want. They can get painted up, they can, you know, be colorful, be anything they want in this culture. There's probably some debate on that, but then you got the Muslim woman down there, which what my 10-year-old calls the yellow ninja, because it kind of looks like a ninja, but it's kind of like that whole restriction of the two different worlds, especially in this day and age with the ideological wars that are going on between the Middle East and Americas. I try to replicate a women's series for my wife because about a year and a half ago I had a show at the room 39 on 39th Street, and I had a whole bunch of women paintings in there, and they all sold. Somebody bought them, and it just she wasn't happy, so I tried to see
like
if I could
bust type or
just kind of
figures,
yeah, just kind of like this, yeah, kind of a mixture of kind of headshots, head and shoulders. Yeah, if you want to grab one of these.
I grabbed one of those.
Okay, cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah, the last time I had a show here, I got a couple elementary school kids that were prank calling me, so that was fun. And I knew they got it from here, because it was right around that time, and they were calling me up. They're like, what do you paint? What do you do? And all this stuff. So yeah, it's kind of funny. It's interesting when people get your information, what they do, and I've been lucky I haven't gotten anything.
Do you feel like the show's kind of at a this particular idea and exhibit is kind of at its peak, or is it kind of starting to settle down now?
It's kind of heated up, actually. You know, I do a lot of auctions too. I'm going to be in an auction Saturday night for the YMCA, and I like that because sometimes you get half the proceeds off the first one you sell, and then you get full proceeds off the second one, or you just give it to them, and it's great exposure, especially in this economy now. They can't really afford art, so when you're at an auction, they're going there to buy art anyways, and it's a great level of exposure. I've done KCPC auctions, and speaking of politically motivated, I did one for the ACLU a while back. I did the ACLU.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the guy that does the Cypress Avenue on Saturday mornings, Bill Shapiro was the MC, and that was kind of cool. And you know, it's cool. You know, you're getting involved in the cause, plus you're getting out there and you're putting your stuff out there. People see it. So, but I think that to answer your question more specifically, I think that I'm getting to a point where I want to do more themed things. Like, there's kind of a mix. Like, you have the women's series. You kind of have some frame stuff here with the nature and the different ones. I have the window frames. It's kind of a, I don't know, it kind of hops around different things. I'd like to be more fluid with having just the same, like, window frames or these kinds of images or these kind of frame ones or just a bunch of them that aren't framed at all, that are just raw canvas. So it's definitely a evolving kind of a thing, you know. So, yeah.
Well, I think I've probably picked your brain on that for today.
Oh, that's fine. That's cool.
If I'm going to go ahead and try to work on the story, and okay, then I'm sure I'll think of a few things to ask you.
Yeah.
Some things I need to fill in or round out. I'll
sure.
Just give you a call.
Yeah, great
time. And I'm sure it's good to meet you.
Yeah, nice talking to you.
I'm going to go down here.
Okay.
Get a try.
Cool. Sounds good. Now I'm going to get back to the day job and do my thing.
Do you work during the conference? So
yeah. I'm full-time and classified, so we're always busy over there. There's always a computer on, so we're always busy. Well, hey, thanks again, and have a good day.